The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written about the Messiah, or that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Do you remember being a kid and having the glass slip through your fingers and shatter all around you? I don't remember how old I was, but I was old enough to have this incredible memory of that moment where for once I wasn't messing around. I wasn't doing all the things I wasn't supposed to be doing. I was just trying to put a glass away, and the glass was wet and it slipped right through my fingers. And in that moment, everything seemed to slow down, where I could feel my fingers missing as the glass fell away. I could see the glass falling slowly, slowly, and then I could hear that fateful crash. And the glass shattered on the floor all across the linoleum of our kitchen tiles. I don't really remember what happened next, except that I know I was scooped up in my bare feet and whisked off to safety, and other hands started quickly trying to sweep up the glass. And I remember that I cried. I wasn't hurt. But something about this moment, about seeing this thing be broken, and knowing that there was nothing I could ever do to put it back together. I had broken this thing, and it would never be the same. And as I think about that story and I remember that story, I think about all the other things that I've broken in my life, right? The phones that have been dropped, the bicycle accidents, the power tools that I break on a semi-regular basis. I think about all these experiences of being a homeowner and realizing my untapped capability for breaking things in an attempt to fix them. And I think about the story, which is one of my favorites, where I was running full speed ahead to go through a door and ended up breaking out the glass window because the door was locked. It's a funny story, I'll tell that one another time. But none of these, though, stick in my mind in the same way as this first moment. This first time that I remember seeing something fall to the ground, shattering around me, and suddenly being aware that there was nowhere I could go. There was no place I could step that I wouldn't get cut. I had to rely on someone else to whisk me off to safety. And as I remember this story, I think about our story from Acts. And, you know, we miss a portion of the story in our reading today, so I need to fill in a few gaps for you. See, before Peter's conversation today, Peter and John were walking up to the temple, as they would, right? They were going to the temple to pray, and while they were walking up the steps, they see this man, and this man had been unable to walk since birth. His whole life he'd been unable to walk, and Peter looks to this man and says, "I don't have any silver or gold, But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And we hear immediately this man's ankles were made strong, his legs were made powerful, and he stood up, walked with them into the temple, leaping and giving praise to God for the incredible thing that had been done. And as you can imagine, when something like this happens, a crowd starts to form. And when this crowd starts to form, Peter turns and gives them the little sermonette that we hear this morning. But before we get to Peter's words, I want us to think about this man, the experience that he was having where his whole life had been broken. This is just one example of something that was broken in our world that could have no chance of ever being repaired. I mean, even in our modern world, with all of our advances in medical technology, there are still children who are born who will never be able to learn to walk. And so what chance did this man born in the first century world have of ever being healed? He had zero chance. And he knew he had zero chance. He had friends who would carry him to the temple steps every day just so he could beg to try to survive. He wasn't there looking for healing. He knew that was not a possibility. There was nothing that could be done. All he could do was beg. He hadn't dropped a glass, but from the moment he was born, his life was shattered around him. And as he looked down, he would see surrounding his bare feet the shards of glass, forcing him to stay exactly where he was. There was no hope for him to move on his own. There was no place he could step where he wouldn't get cut, no place where he could move where he would not bleed. His life was broken, and nothing on this earth could fix it. Now, I would guess that we don't have to try that hard to put ourselves mentally in the position of this man. Because we all have gone through moments and seasons of our lives where we have experienced this kind of brokenness. You know, we may never have lost our ability to walk, but we've all seen our lives shatter around us. And maybe it was the phone call where you got the diagnosis and you heard the word cancer. You heard depression. You heard Alzheimer's. Or maybe it was a different call altogether and you heard, there's been an accident. Someone's been arrested. Maybe it was when you lost a job or you moved to a new city. Maybe it was when your car was repossessed. Or that time when you finally had to admit that you needed to turn to someone else for help. You know, it's been almost 20 years and I still can remember the night that my dad came into my room to tell me that my aunt had died. And the way my life was shattered in that moment. We all have these moments, these seasons where we look and we see our lives shattering at our very feet and we realize there's nowhere we can turn. There's glass surrounding us in every direction. There's no place we can step where we won't get cut. There's no place we can move where we won't bleed. And so just like this man, we resign ourselves to live in this broken life. Thinking that the best we can hope for is to beg for a few coins from the temple steps, that we can get just enough to survive, because certainly there's nothing on this earth that could ever make us whole. There's nothing that could ever put this back together, so the most that we can hope for is to just have enough to get by. The thing is, as broken as it might feel, as terrifying as it is to be surrounded by shards of shattered glass, the brokenness is never the end of the story. Because we believe in a God who promises to make all things whole. And so as we keep moving through this season where we're talking about how this changes everything, how in the light of the resurrection, everything is made different. Today we're talking about this move from being broken to being made whole. Because we believe in a God who says, there is nothing that I cannot make new. There is nothing that I cannot make whole again. And so we hear a story like this man who sat outside the steps, and suddenly his life, which he was convinced could never be made whole, is restored. And he's just one example of how working through faith in Jesus Christ, God brings about wholeness into your life. And so Peter's sermonette that we hear this morning that was read for us just a few moments ago, Peter's message conveys this simple words that, look, you all, you people gathered here around me, you crucified this man Jesus, this man who was God in human form. You put him to death. But because you put him to death, he's been raised to new life. And because he lives, you, even though you killed him, you can be made whole again. In other words, Peter's message is this changes everything. Even if something is broken, it can be made whole again. You know, we move through these times and these seasons of our lives, and there are so many places where we want to look for wholeness. So many times that we want to find that, and we see it happening every day. God continues to work in the same way that he worked in the life of the man that we hear about in Acts today. He works in our lives to bring about wholeness. In incredible, even miraculous ways, God is bringing about wholeness every single day. We might call it medicine. We might call it scientific discovery. We might call it therapy or counseling, but rest assured, wherever you see something being made whole, this is God's power at work. This is God's ability to lift us up and to raise us into new life. Now, the challenge that we still face is that while we know so many incredible stories of people experiencing wholeness in this life, right? We know people who have been healed from cancer. We know the alcoholic who stopped drinking and restored their relationships with their family. We know that the person who journeyed through grief and depression and came out on the other side. We know those stories. But we know just as many stories of people who never got to experience wholeness in this life. We know people who died from cancer. We know people who will never stop drinking. We know people who will wrestle with depression until the day they die. But nonetheless, God's promise of wholeness is true. The words that were spoken to the man on the steps, stand up and walk, are the words that are spoken to each of us. Be made whole. And even if we don't experience wholeness in this life, when our time comes, when we join the saints who have gone before us and sit at the feast of God's table, rest assured, we will be made whole. Even those of us who think we are whole now will realize that we aren't truly whole until we join God at the banquet table. So I want us to take a moment and think about that piece of our life that feels broken, that we're convinced is shattered beyond repair. And as we think about that piece, I want us to imagine dropping the glass, letting it slip through our fingers, watching it shatter on the ground around us. We look down and we see our bare feet surrounded by the broken shards of glass, realizing again that there's nowhere we can step we won't get cut, there's nowhere we can move that we won't bleed, and then feeling the embrace of our Creator, our God, our Protector, who scoops us up in our bare feet and all, whisks us off to safety, and then gently sweeps up the broken glass and speaks the words, I know this thing is broken, I know you can't fix it, but I can. I sent my son down to the earth so that he might live among you, so that he would be crucified, died, and I raised him to new life so that you would know that this is true, that there is nothing that is broken that I will not make whole again. There is nothing that is broken that will not be made whole. I wish I could tell you when and how. I wish that I could give you 5 easy steps to tape the broken glass back together. But I don't have 5 easy steps. I don't have a timeline. But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will be made whole. And on that day, we too will leap for joy and give praise to God. God loves each of you, and I do too.